Shall we read together? Psalm chapter 1. This is what the Holy Scripture says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for reading that, Marie. And well, good morning, brothers and sisters. And maybe at this point you have only one thought. Nico, don't talk too long. Because the barbecue is waiting for us. And of course, well, we really have a very special Sunday that we will have fellowship with each other. And so we are looking forward for this. But we want to reflect also on our walk with the Lord. And, well, in a way, I think the barbecue marks a bit the end of the church season. And some of the activities are now stopping, like the home fellowships. Several home fellowships stopped already. Fortunately, some others will continue during the summer. Today, it's the last day for the children's church. But fortunately, we have the VBS in the middle of the summer. WEPS, they stopped. And so we see things gradually slowing down. And we enter in a kind of slow season. But what does that mean for our walk with the Lord? And maybe I gave the meditation a little bit a provocative title. Does God take vacation? Question mark. Well, God does not take vacation. We all know. It's more about us. Do we take vacation from God during the summer season? And so I like us to reflect on that. Sometimes I must say that when we are in the normal season and it's all the activities are going on and it's intensive and we are busy, it seems that we find more easily time with the Lord than when it is vacation time. And at times when after the summer we enter the rentrée and we have all this stress of the rentrée and things need to get organized, we feel again closer to the Lord. And then during the summer months, although we have more time to spend with God, actually in reality, we spend less time with God as God was hoping for. And so that is a kind of bizarre, isn't it? When we walk with the Lord and we have more time and in a way we slow down with our walk with the Lord as well. Do we really need, let's say, the busy season to get close to the Lord? Do we need, let's say, the stress and a bit the difficulties of our daily lives to really have the intimate walk with him? Because we know that on the other side, when we are busy, and I'm not going to reflect too much on the rentrée, I know that is not the nicest season of the year. But we know also that when we have this stress and we face all the challenges of life, it may also affect us a bit in a negative way. And sometimes we feel less joy when we are under stress. Normally when things go fine, we are happy and satisfied. But when things are difficult and we face challenges of life, we might get a little bit unhappy or even depressed. But this is not the way God intended it to be. He wants us to live joyful lives. And he wants us to have a positive influence on the people around us, our family, our husband, our wife, our children, our colleagues in the work, our brothers and sisters in the church. So we should be careful whether circumstances affect our emotions. And this is not the way God wants it to be. He wants our joy to be independent of our circumstances. But let's be real, let's be honest. Sometimes there are these little things which spoil our day. When we get up in the morning, and we have a bad sleep night, there's been a mosquito in the bedroom, and you get up and you have a bit of a headache, it spoils already a little bit your day. Or you have breakfast, and the coffee, you spoil the coffee on the table. It's not a good start. Or you get in the office and there is an unkind remark. Or you get on the metro and there is a technical problem and it doesn't go. Well, all these little things, they tend to affect our lives quite a bit. But sometimes it are also very big things which affect our lives. For instance, if one of our family members or a close friend or maybe even ourselves is diagnosed with a very serious illness. Or when we have a car accident. Or when we lose our job. Or when we have a difficulty of finding a job. And in those situations, we tend to focus on our circumstances. Instead that we focus on God, who he is, his character, his power. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, Paul is saying, be joyful always, be always joyful. He is saying be, not pretend. He is also saying always, not often. So he is talking about something from the inside. And the outside, the circumstances cannot affect it. And so this morning I like us to reflect on what is the secret to have this kind of joyful life. Is this a secret which we can bring all into this summertime with us during this time of vacation? Well, for sure it is something which is available to all of us. And so I really like us to think, how can we also strengthen our joy in the Lord during this summertime. But before we open the Bible further and look in Psalm 1 and another passage, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we want to open our hearts for what you have to say. Let's forget about the one who is speaking, but we want to turn our ears and our heart to you. And Father, you are looking forward to have a really great summertime with us. But the action is on our side. So, Father, I pray that you guide our thoughts and that you give us insight how we can really experience the joy in you, in our walk with you, all over this summertime. And so that when we come back in at the end of the summer season, we are refreshed and close in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Marie read already the passage from Psalm 1, and I just want to repeat verse 2 and 3. Well, and this is about the man who is walking with the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Well, in the bulletin today, with the great help of Alice, I put a picture of two trees. And, well, of course, you all know how a tree looks like, but I'd like you to focus on the left one. And when you look at that tree, well, you may wonder, what is the most important part of the tree? And maybe some of us would say, well, of course, that are the flowers and the fruits, because that is the end result of the tree life. But if there are no, if these flowers and fruits are not fed, they will not develop. So maybe it are the leaves then. And of course the leaves, they are the first thing which captures our eyes. But actually, if there is no water or minerals, there will be no leaves. So maybe it's the trunk then, and often these trunks, they look impressive, like the tree just here on the outside. Sometimes I'm concerned when we have those strong storms that it's going to be blown down. But the trunk, it looks very impressive, but it's just a vessel to transport the water and the minerals. Now, actually, the most important part of that tree is what you don't see. It are the roots. They are under the ground. And that is the picture what the psalmist describes in Psalm 1. It is similar in our Christian walk. It's not what we do, so let's say the things which are visible, which is the most important. No, it is our intimate relationship with the Lord. And there is light again, and I'm connected again, so great. So I'd like us to look at Jeremiah chapter 17, and I will read from verse 5 onwards. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So we see many similarities with Psalm 1 here. And actually what Jeremiah is doing is he presents a choice to us. There are two ways to live as a Christian. You can live your Christian life and trust, as Jeremiah is saying, trust in the flesh. Well, in other words, that means to trust in our human abilities. But the other possibility is to live with the trust in the Lord and to have confidence in the Lord. And the way this works out is like the two trees we have in the bulletin. And so now on the left side, you have this tree in the desert. And that's the picture of the first tree Jeremiah gave. It looks almost dead. Still, there is some life in it. Although I did not check it. I just got it from the picture. But the remarkable thing of this tree, and it's the illustration of somebody who puts his trust in human ability. But Jeremiah is saying, when something good arrives, he does not notice it. Which is amazing. And you see that also in the desert. These type of trees, even when rain falls, they do not react. There is not really an impact on their lives. But the other possibility Jeremiah describes is that you put your confidence in the Lord. And then he gives the picture of the tree over here on the right side. And the remarkable thing of this tree is that even when there is an extended period of drought, the tree does not notice. The leaves will not wither. It continues to bear fruit. And so where you put your confidence in, it is the key question. And of course, it's very important to reflect on our own lives. To which tree am I similar? Am I a bit like this tree in the desert? Or am I like the tree planted next to a stream? Well, there was not enough place to put a stream here for the other tree, but you can be sure there is a stream here. So it stretches out its root to the water. And the way you can notice it is whether external conditions, whether adverse situations take away your joy. But how do you find out whether you put your trust in your own abilities and not in God's? Well, I could think of a number of examples. One example is, how do we look at our daily work, whether in the office or whether at school or at home? Do we consider our work as the place, well, I'm trained for that, so I do what I need to do. I don't actually need the Lord in all of that. Maybe only when I get into trouble, then I need the Lord. Or what about our decision-making? When we take decisions and we sort out what to do, how do we involve God in that? Only at the moment when we made up our mind and we think, well, this is the right way to go. I think this is the good thing. And then we go to God and ask his blessing. Or do we involve God in our decision making from the early start on? Or what about our life career, our professional career? Do we expect to develop in our job and to make promotion, that this is something which is decided by the people around us or above us? Do we try to please our boss in order to get this promotion? Or do we put our trust and confidence in ourselves by really valuing our own abilities, our education or our experience or our possessions or the position we have? Or do we notice that we put our confidence in ourselves because only at times when we are in trouble, then we turn to God. But when we are not in trouble, we live our lives. Or that we easily worry about all sorts of things, whether small or big things, as if God is not bigger than our worries, as if God cannot overcome the challenges we face. On the other side, that is the second possibility Jeremiah gives, is that you put your confidence in the Lord. And how do we find out that we put our confidence in the Lord? I think a clear sign of that is that we have a strong desire to be continually connected to God, and that we seek the time with Him and look forward to spend time with Him. We can see it also whenever we face difficulties or we have challenges, that our first reaction is to go with that to the Lord. And maybe in a quick prayer, talk about it with the Lord. Is that our automatic reaction? Well, I hope I didn't say something wrong. Anyway, in Psalm 1, we read this illustration that a Christian is like a tree planted next to a stream. We have read the passage. Now, when you think of this tree planted next to a stream, what does the tree do? What is, let's say, the responsibility of the tree, so to say? Well, it's to stretch out its roots towards the water. That is the important thing. The tree is not concerned about the fruits or the seeds or the leaves. That all follows the fact that he is reaching out the roots to the water. That is the same in our Christian life. We need to reach out to God. We need this close intimacy with God. And then all the other things we do will follow. But what does that mean, to reach out with our spiritual roots to the water? Well, I think the stream in Psalm 1 and also here in Jeremiah, it's about the communication, the relationship with the Lord. It is the words of God. And when we have this close communication with God, we understand what God wants to say through his word and what he has for us. And so it's very important that we have this daily contact with God and seek him on a daily basis. In Psalm 1, verse 2, we read, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Well, I don't know whether you thought about that, to meditate day and night. How can we do that? To be continually in touch with God and to meditate day and night. Well, I think there are three things important in that. The first thing is that we need to start our days with taking some time with God, and to do that on a daily basis. A relationship will never grow when you don't take the time for that. I mean, in a marriage, the man, the husband and wife need to take time together. They need to have quality time. Otherwise, in the end, their marriage may break down. It's also in a friendship, when you don't spend time together, the relationship is no longer very meaningful, the friendship. So it's the same with the Lord. We need to take time with the Lord. And when we do that, then we will grow closer to him. For me personally, I cannot think of living my life with our daily meeting with the Lord. And for me, it's a life necessity. And I can only deal with life by meeting with the Lord on a daily basis. For me, it's like, well, what respiration is for the physical body. I mean, it is a kind of spiritual respiration, breath, to take my breath, spiritual breath, by meeting on a daily basis with the Lord. But how to get started with that? And for sure, many of you take already time with God, and maybe it's just a challenge to continue to do that and even have a better quality time during the summer. But maybe for some of you, it's to get started with that. The first thing is that you need to find the right moment to meet with the Lord. For me, that's the early morning, when the day did not really start yet. And that is the time I can concentrate well, and I can really focus on God alone. And then what I do is I ask God, I praise God that I can have this time with Him, and I ask God to guide my thoughts when I open up the Bible, so that He can speak through His words to me, what He has for me. And so when I read the passage, well, a good idea is, in order to meditate on it, just to ask yourself two questions. And I borrow here the questions Paul, Apostle Paul, was asking. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? So what does the passage say about God? What does it say about God's character or what He does or His plans with our lives? So first question, who are you, God? And the second question, what does the passage say? What should I do? How should I live my walk with the Lord? Those are two very simple questions, but when you go through a passage with these two questions, I'm sure God is going to speak to you. And then I finish that time with prayer, and often I just write out a short prayer which I take with me during the day. And so if you do not have this daily time with the Lord, I challenge you to get started with that. The second thing is, we need to stay in touch with the Lord during the day. So in order that whatever we meet during our day, that we will respond to that in a way which is pleasing to God. Nowadays when I'm in the metro, I see many people with these earphones plugged in. Well, they are a bit in a knot now, so you put them in, and in the metro you see everybody almost with the earphones plugged in order to listen to their favorite music. But spiritually, it's so important to keep our earphones in and to be connected with God. And maybe in our quiet time in the morning we have both earphones in, but at least we should keep one in during the day, so that whatever comes on our way, we react to it in a way which is honoring God. Now, as a third suggestion I want to give is that at the end of the day when we go to bed, we just reflect on that day. And the way I do it is that when I think back of the day behind me, I take some time to think God for what He has done, what He showed to me, or the way He has guided me. But I also reflect on those things which did not go that well. And I have a short prayer with the Lord. I recall the passage I've read that morning, and in that way, with the word of God, I can fall asleep. And so I think if we have these three steps, take time with the Lord, stay connected with God during the day, and end the day with a short meditation, what God has done, it helps us to meditate day and night. Well, maybe I may give you that as a challenge for this summer. I put in the bulletin, or do we take vacation from God? Of course you don't do. So I can see that, but maybe this summer will be even a much more special time that you get closer to the Lord, and that that you experience this daily communication with the Lord, that you stay connected with Him, that you end the day with the Lord. This will change your life. And I'm sure when we are all back here after the summer season, we will be different. We will be closer to the Lord. We will be prepared for another season. God does not promise us a picnic as Christians. Also in Jeremiah we read that there will be heat, there will be drought, but the tree on the waterside can face those circumstances. And that is what God has in mind for us. He wants us to keep our joy because this joy is from within. Well, I see that also the heat is affecting us here already. And so I will keep it short. I'd just like us to go back for a moment to Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, where there are three consequences mentioned for those who trust in God, who trust in the Lord. And so in verse 8 we see that such a person will not fear when heat comes, and he has no worries in a year of drought. Well, that is a consequence God has for us when we are closely linked, connected to Him. The second thing is that the leaves are always green, as Psalm 1 is saying, the leaves will not wither. Well, there is not a kind of slowing down in our walk with the Lord, but it's going up. We are growing. We are getting further. We may live a victorious life. And the third thing is, he will never fail to bear fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit will be more and more visible, be visible in our lives. That we will be more and more like God is. That we will reflect more and more His character. But also that because of the way we live, that other people will be attracted as well. And because of what we say, that others will find the Lord. While I was preparing this message this week, it went very fast, and God really made it possible for me to have things work out. But there was such a strong desire that I was hoping not only for myself, because the one who speaks is for sure is blessed, but for all of us, that this summer will be special, that it will be special in our walk with the Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that it's your desire to have this intimate relationship with us. And we thank and praise you for that, for your love, for your concern, for your involvement in our lives. And Heavenly Father, when we enter this season of vacation, it's our desire to draw closer to you. And Father, I pray that these coming weeks and months will be encouraging in our walk with you, that we will see more of you in who you are, in how you are, and how you direct our lives. So, Father, I pray that we will feel blessed in the time to come because of your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.